totally wasn't my fault. Because we're starting 2003 error-free. 2014 error-free. Not counting that error that I just made. Starting now is error-free, my friend. How's it going, Adam?
It's going well.
You haven't been... I have adopted the hammer moniker.
Thank you. You know, who is it? My brain is blacked out right now.
You mean Jim? You want to thank Jim Brewer?
Yeah.
For giving me that awesome nickname. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Is your mic on?
I don't know. Has it not been on the whole time?
No, you're good.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't sure. Sometimes it drops. But yeah, what's can you sum up? How's your 2014 been?
Great. Snow-filled. Cold.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it, though. I love storms.
The blizzard was a little weak, though. You got to admit that. Wasn't really much of a blizzard.
No,
baby blizzard.
I wanted, you know, like 3 feet of snow.
Yeah, you didn't.
I was ready to be, like, you know.
Like a week
house-ridden, yeah.
A week off from school.
Yes, I was ready to really get a lot of. The thing is, everyone, when you say that, and you're a teacher, everyone says, you know, oh, no, it's because you're a teacher. It's like, no, I actually just do enjoy storms. I love the idea of all of us getting just hammered by a blizzard drinking in our houses.
That is an exciting idea. I think if you're in Buffalo, you should embrace that. I mean, it was wind. It was blowy, so I couldn't quite see. So I did have to stay in for one day. I was housebound for one day.
Oh, okay.
So, and then.
Yeah, because you live down there.
You know, I didn't get a lot of snow, though. I think I must have been on the edge. Yeah, I'm in the southern, not southern tier, but South Buffalo. South mm-hmm. Buffalo proper. So, but I didn't get a lot of stuff. Just a lot of drifting and blowing. But other than that, nothing crazy. So.
I actually was on my way to my friend's house, and there was a puddle. Like a fire hydrant must have burst or something.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that it was water on the ground. I thought it was just, like, snow. And I hit the water. And it shot up onto my car and froze immediately upon impact with my car. So, like, I couldn't see anything. It was the scariest. It was pretty scary.
Oh, you mean like the water shot onto you?
Yeah, like I hit the water, and then, you know, when you hit a puddle, like the water, it like shot up, landed on my windshield, and froze the second it hit my windshield. And I tried to get it off, but it was like, rah, rah, you know, one of the things going over the ice, and I had to jump out of my car, and I couldn't see anything in either direction. I thought I was going to get hit. It's pretty awesome. I had to scrape off the, you know, to try and scrape it. I was in a bad spot there for a minute.
Oh, I could not but it was, seeing as bad. But how was the water staying unfrozen?
I don't know. That's what I don't understand. Oh. On the ground, it was fine. As soon as it hit my car.
Maybe it has to be elevated, like, you know, the higher you go
in
the cooler.
In the air.
So right on the ground,
maybe,
it's okay.
It could be like maybe like the top layer was frozen and I just hit it and shot everything up, but it was bad.
Possible. Yeah, because I think that was on the Colbert Report, like the newscasters who have to show people how cold it, you know, you throw the glass
throw
of water.
Throw the water and it freezes in there, like, yeah.
At -2. I don't know how far down Buffalo dropped. I don't really care. I don't know. I think that's the end of our requisite weather.
Yeah, I think we should be over with that. What are we doing talking about the weather?
Yeah, well, this weekend is going to be 50, so.
Perfect.
I know. Well, no, I'm excited because we're going to talk movies like we sometimes do. We're going to get back to our roots.
Yes.
At the moment. Actually, I should mention, no awkward interviews for me today because I know people have come to love my my awkwardness.
They're so ready for it.
But actually, I will be interviewing Joey Coco Diaz is coming to town tomorrow. Or he's in town now. He's coming tonight, but I will interview him tomorrow. So we could probably talk about his first day of shows.
That's pretty cool.
You familiar with the Coco?
I am.
Joey?
Yes.
Diaz? All right. Well, you can tune in for that.
Did you interview Hannibal Buress?
I did.
That How was that?
That was one of my worst interviews ever.
Really?
Yeah. No, I already discussed this. There was not controversy. I like to go. Here's my interview style. No research.
Yeah. Why would you research anything?
Well, because I know I rely on my. I have a deep depth of comedic knowledge anyway. So I mean, I have that, and I go for a conversational style. Like I don't want to like set people. You know, like they do on. You know, on late night, sometimes Conan will be like, oh, do you have a girlfriend? Even though he already knows the answer.
Yeah, exactly.
To me, that's kind of boring. But I mean, if that's what people want, you know, I could always adjust. But anyway, yeah, like I don't when I answered the phone, he just kind of seemed low energy, you know, and it just didn't pump me up. Mm-hmm. So I like right off the bat, I don't feel like I got along well with him. And then I believe he said the S word.
Oh, wow.
Well, no, he did. He actually did. And I had to hit the dump button. Don't even know if it worked. I think it did. I mean, let's, for the sake of this, we'll see it did. And then, I don't know, he was just kind of, I feel like he was one answering me. And I don't know what I was asking. I mean, I was asking him questions. So then he, I just asked him, you know, I was like, oh, man, are you tired? Did you just fly in? You know, kind of, and he was just like, no, he's like, you're not really asking any questions. You're just saying stuff. So I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, the interview kind of took a weird turn after that. And then, you know, we put up the show on the blog, and I labeled it Awkward Interview with Hannibal Buress. So I get an email from his publicist the next day, you know, stating, oh, can you please take that down? You can imagine why. And I'm like, oh, why? Because I labeled it Awkward Interview? I was like, well, you know, I don't mean it in all seriousness. No disrespect to Hannibal, who's a comedian. And I was like, if you listen to the interview, it was awkward. And she was like, she emailed me back. She's like, oh, thanks for your reply. And I'm not here to debate that. She's like, I did listen to the interview. And she's like, I'm not here to debate that, which means, yeah, it was awkward. But she doesn't want to put that in print, I'm sure.
And obviously, and now you're talking about it.
She's just like, please. She's like, I'm respectfully asking you to put it. And I'm like, sure, I will do that as soon as possible. But of course, while this is going on, I keep putting new tags on the blog, like a horribly awkward interview, the interview that Hannibal Buress' publicist wants me to take down.
Did you really?
Yeah. Before I took it down. Because, you know, that's the contrarian in me.
Oh, my God.
So, and then I Twittered. So I Twittered. I was like, this is your last chance to hear, to listen to the Hannibal Buress interview that his publicist wants me to take down because I'm controversial, yo. As a joke, you know, just meaning that, like, I wasn't trying to say that it was controversial at all. Like, I don't know. That's just what I went with. So, but he actually Twittered me back. But I, you know, the funny thing is I didn't put at Hannibal Buress. I just mentioned his name, but he probably must be an egomaniac, or either his publicist is trying to build his brand, so they must just go through Twitter and find everything that has his name on.
Yeah.
So anyway, he Twittered me back, you know, at Jason Pomyatlash, and he's just like, he's like, nah, you're, and, you know, I think he was trying to, you know, I wasn't trying to say it was controversial, but he was just like, nah, you're just bad at your job, or you were bad at your job.
As oh,
like that
shoot.
Day. So I was like, oh, all right, thanks. And several people favored that tweet, including local comedian Rick Matthews. Thanks, Rick.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
That is awesome. Yes, so, Rick. That's amazing. Well, at least look at you with the Twitter war with Hannibal Buress.
Well, it ended there. Because, I mean, I don't want it. Like, granted, I mean, I think I Twittered him back, and, you know, there was, I was like, I'll take 80% of the responsibility, whatever. You know, maybe you didn't like my questions. Fine. Maybe I didn't give you the right intro, but it's like, I feel like if you really wanted, as a professional comedian, that does a lot of phone interviews, you could have, whatever, you could have went in any direction you wanted to. Like, you didn't have to wait for me, you know what I mean? I'm the power is there, you know, I'm willing to roll with anything. I feel like I can. So I was kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, the conversation. So the conversation just died, and then, bam, it was awful. So, I mean, and that interview is gone because I did take it down per his publicist's request.
Oh, my God. You should have definitely left it up and continued this. Could have really made a name for yourself.
No, I don't want to make my bones off Hannibal, because I do like Hannibal's a great comedian, great set of shows. So, I mean, and whatever. And if people look at it from a certain perspective, they'll most likely agree with Hannibal. And they'll just be like, well, you don't know how to interview people. And, you know, some of my interviews do go great and some don't. And, you know, whatever. I'm still adjusting for
that's so awesome.
2014. And best of luck to Hannibal. So,
that's an awesome story. I so, love that you're in it. Hannibal Buress. Like, you know, one of the a big up-and-comer. People are talking about him like he's about to go out.
He's because he's tremendous right now. He's, like, he's killing it on stage.
Yeah, he's very hot.
Yeah,
and like you're in a war with him.
I'm not in a war with him. No war.
I'm going to restart it.
I think that will be a war I'd lose. Well, no, because he was one of the people, even professional. I mean, I don't even think I've learned. I'm, you know, somewhat naive, but I have learned most people when they say come to the show, it's just something that you say. It's not because they like me. You know,
Yeah.
I was in my early beginnings feeling like, oh, I'm connecting with him. He wants me to come because they don't really want to meet me after the show. They don't care. They do all these radio, but yeah. It's just something that you do say. And most of everyone I've interviewed has said that, but Hannibal did not. You know, because at the end, you know, when you say goodbye, they're like, oh, you coming to the show? Like I interviewed Hal Sparks for. Just for like print for Buffalo.com. You know, he's like, oh, you coming to the show? The guy from Teen Wolf that was here, what's his name? I don't know. I can't remember his name already. But yeah, he's, oh, and you know, the last guy I talked to did not, I think he was a little thrown off by my interview style as well. He did not say, are you coming to the show? So that's two. So that's not, Oh, we'll write that ship in 2014. Well, you know what? But and right on the air, it was Dan Natterman. And right off the bat, I introduced him as Dan Neuterman.
Of course.
So
can never get a name.
He probably
right.
didn't appreciate that. And that's understandable. And we had a little audio problems in the beginning. So, like, I think he was talking and I didn't hear him because I didn't have the headphone jack wasn't all the way in. So I was kind of like just talking to fill the dead air. So we weren't incompatible there. Incompatico. And then he said right on the air, he was like, oh, he's like, usually people set me up. You know what I mean? Because he was just right off the bat. He went into this, like, I'm going to stop internet dating for 2014. And he was just like, that's like material. So, and he's like, oh, he's like, you know, you don't want to do that. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm just trying to have a conversation to see where it goes. And he's like, oh, okay, well, now we're on the same page. But then it didn't really go well.
Yeah.
So,
but he's got a different
thing.
Well,
he's used to
set up,
but like, I feel like, cause he didn't have a, he goes, oh, I didn't have a note from my public. I guess sometimes they do that. You know what I mean? Like a note like this guy won't set you up or something, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe.
So I guess in the future, see, I'm learning as I go. It's a learning curve.
Oh, we're getting, you're getting much better.
Yeah. Thanks.
I love this Hannibal stuff. I couldn't be happier about that.
Yeah, go favor that tweet. Go find that.
I'm going to. It's amazing.
It's on his timeline from a couple weeks ago.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so I think I'll make a note in you know, because I can set people up, and in the future I will, because, you know, I didn't know he wanted to do that. Because, like I said, that seems kind of, I don't know, contrite and boring, because can't people see through that? Like, you know, he's like, sometimes DJs ask if I have a girlfriend, and then he could say, no, and then go into like a funny, but it's like, we'll save that for, that's your act. And then let's, because mm-hmm. I mean, I was hitting him with, I was like, oh, well, can you sum up 2013? Because, you know, some comedians have like funny stuff, like ready to go off the top. That's kind of like Bobcat Goldthwait did, but he's a pro for like 50 years. So, and you know, Dan's kind of like, well, I need a minute to think about that. So I was like, oh, well, that's not off the cuff funny. So
it's probably very weird too, because, you know, so many comedians are like, awkward to start.
Well,
you know what
you
I mean?
Know,
like generally as like a group, like most comedians are not most, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of comedians can get awkward fast. And like they're calling into a radio blind. They don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? And then you're not against you. It's just like one of those things where like suddenly they don't know what door they're going to open.
Right. No, I'm open to the criticism. Certainly.
And then that's hilarious.
That's,
and then you get in there and
that's how we learn. Well, no, Christy Rock, who actually knows Hannibal from Chicago, said, well,
oh,
he
awesome.
Is kind of awkward. Like, he's awkward talking to him. Like, a lot of comedians, like, we know a lot of comedians. We know it's, like, in general, in person, you know, they're not, like, because you see someone light up the stage.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not, they don't light up the off the stage, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can be like that. I can be, well, I'm more aloof, but, you know, people can see. Yeah, I mean, it could throw, I could see it because, like, maybe they're used to radio guys, like, taking the reins and, like, shooting questions at them. And that's not what I was doing. So it's confusing and they don't know what to do. So, and I forget that people don't know me. You know what I mean? Like, they're just calling. It's like cold calling. So they're just calling me out of the blue and they're used to something and then it's not jibing. And I'm
just
asking them normal questions like, oh man, you're from New York. And he's just like, yeah.
It's must listen radio. No questions asked. Are you going to, you're trying to get a solid spot every week for that? Is that what you were saying?
Solid. What do you mean?
Like on the radio, like you're going to have your own time for that?
Well, we try to do the interviews during the show, but okay. Sometimes it's, like I couldn't, you know, Joey Diaz will be in town today, but, he's not to give away his schedule in case anybody's stalking him, but he's not going to actually he didn't get into town until like 4:30. So
okay.
He's probably not eager to call the phone to, and it's probably, I told, the publicist, you know, make a note that, you know, let me know if he wants to do material, if he wants to be set up or if he's cool just having a conversation.
Yeah.
And some people are, you know, like Big J. Okerson, another hilarious comedian. Like, we chatted for 45 minutes because he's just
I remember that.
That,
yeah.
Like he can just go off the top.
And Tom Cotter, too.
You had a good one with. Yeah. Well, I re-listened to that interview, and actually, ironically, even though I wasn't trying, I think I just synced up very well with Tom because I actually set him up for all his material inadvertently through my conversation, and
perfect.
It just worked out that way, so... But let's
talk movies.
Yeah, let's enough about my awesome interview skills that are only going to improve. And if you want proof of that, tune in tomorrow at around 4:30 when I talk to Joey Diaz. You can come. I mean, you can be here. I don't know, but you probably have. I mean,
no, I've got basketball tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Basketball for you on Fridays. That's right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, obviously you're welcome. You're part of the show. don't want to like.
Oh no, no.
This isn't my individual grab for glory. Yeah.
No, I didn't. I didn't think that it okay. was.
Because actually, I would like another person. That would be great, but I could never get another person. Like every time I have an interview, it seems like I'm always by myself.
Yeah.
So, I try.
Well, let's
that would probably bail me out if I had another. Like if I had my zoo crew with me, you could jump in when things get really awkward.
When things get really weird.
But anyway. Yeah, movie time. This is a great movie, great time for movies because it seems
it's
like,
amazing time for movies.
Right now is out is Wolf of Wall Street, which I saw. We'll talk about.
You saw American Hustle,
another great movie that people Golden Globe Awards, and Anchorman 2. I don't. How is that doing? Is that in the top five? I don't know anybody that saw it.
It is in the top five. I was gonna see it.
It's gotten good
during one of those
right?
blizzard days, but the theater was closed.
Oh,
yeah. You. The thing is, I talked. Excuse me. I talked to some people who say they love or, you know, it's great. And there's a lot of people who say they hate it, too. It was six this week. So you had Frozen at number one. Mm. Paranormal Activity, the marked ones, at number two.
I think I've
they're just going to make
those.
1,000 of those.
They keep making money and they're cheap because they get
$20 million
it made. Yeah, and they probably made it for five.
Exactly. So they're already in the black. Then you had The Hobbit. Which is killing it.
Well, of course.
Wolf of Wall Street, American Hustle, and Anchorman. You know what movie is doing really terribly is The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Which
I thought that was going to make more money than...
got some good reviews as
yeah,
well,
yeah, I thought
it?
That was going to make more money than it did. But
plus, it's PG.
Yeah, I mean, you would think.
And I know you're going to try to reclaim your girl because that's Jennifer Lawrence.
She's mine. I win. I saw the movie. I'm definitely
taking
her back.
I just saw that preview where she's on that. Well, first, she wears a lot of 70s low-cut gown wear. Digging mm-hmm. that's worth seeing it. But then she's kind of crawling on the bed and she's kind of like, come to mama. Like that,
yeah.
I could just make like on a loop, a meme, a JPEG, something on my, that's my screensaver. Let's put it that
yes.
way.
Yeah, no, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I thought that, you know, Christian Bale, I think, is just unbelievable.
He's killing it right now.
He's just amazing. The only thing that I mean... And so is Bradley Cooper. It's just incredible, too. What an incredible actor that guy is. Came out of nowhere. Like, when he was in, like, you know,
My
Wet Hot American Summer back in the day. You know, like, that guy's just, that
yeah,
guy's
he's like
murdering
hot.
It.
Like, and, like, you know, he's, like, in every, not every other movie, but every, like, good
And
movie.
He's doing so well. And Jennifer Lawrence is just great in everything I've seen her in. I just cannot believe that woman exists as a human being. And then you see, like, the interviews that she does. Like, oh, just totally in love.
Yeah, kind of.
How could you not be in love with her?
I saw her on The Daily Show. It's hard not to. Yeah, if you don't
like
her.
She's just so cool. She's just laid back, says the weirdest things. She's her own type of person. I love it. But you know what the weird thing is that I noticed, I recognize about Amy Adams is no matter what Amy Adams is in, I just cannot get by her being Amy Adams.
Meaning?
You know, like, you know, like when you see people, like. You just don't, I can't, like, let's see, who's one of them? There's just, like, actors who will always be, like, they're either always, like, Napoleon Dynamite. Like, no matter what that guy's in, John Heder or Heder, however you say it, I'm going to envision him as Napoleon every single time.
So what has she been in?
But with Amy Adams, it's her own person. Like, she doesn't convince me of her character enough, I think.
Well, then that means she's not a good enough actress.
Yeah, I think so. And her boobs were out most of the time, which was great. Not totally out, but like in a really
yeah,
weird...
Yeah, she's cute.
I mean, beautiful. But it's just like, I was just like, oh, there's Amy Adams with like a low-cut top on. Like well, constantly. Like I wasn't thinking like, oh man, that... Like I couldn't even tell you what her character's name was in it, you know? And she's in a lot of the movie.
She must be on the hot list too because she's also in She, the Spike Jonze movie
yeah,
where the
she's,
guy falls
I mean,
in love with his operating system.
My girlfriend says she always looks like she's about to start crying, Amy Adams.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, but that's just because you like disagreeing with my girlfriend on the air. Just trying to start arguments. I know you're game.
I'll start a Twitter war with her. No problem. I will crush her.
I wouldn't start one with her.
I didn't say it would be easy. She'd be formidable, sure.
It'd be, yes. Oh,
I
gosh,
win in
that
the
would
end,
be,
though.
That would be pretty good to watch.
No, we agree on some stuff. We agree when she starts making fun of you, and then I was just like, yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you know, it's...
But you know what? Here's the thing that I've heard refute my points.
Okay.
Well, no, they kind of classify as a comedy, and I heard that's just because, you know, like comedy, the field of comedy is kind of more wide open.
Yeah. It's
but
not,
I feel like it's not a, like I've heard that it's actually got it's like a funny like all the things they're trying to portray it as a comedy because, you know, all the clips that you see are kind of like him like, oh, is this a sheik? And but it's not really like it's got one funny part and that's it. Right. Like it's not like, really a comedy.
Yeah. I mean, what they do is they'll like have it's like one of those movies that's like it's pretty intense and like you're really paying attention to a lot of stuff and they'll say things that are funny. Every once in a, you know what I mean? Every once in a while, like you'll get a laugh, right. Like people will laugh. Like, you know, Jennifer Lawrence is like, as a wife, the worst kind of cook and like always almost burning the house down or like, but it's not in a funny way. Like all of a sudden, like the microwave's on fire, you know? And she's like, why did you buy this microwave? You know, and she's yelling at him as a wife and it's funny, but it's not like, you know, the Hangover funny, you know what I mean? It's not like a comedy that's like.
Hangover One.
Yeah, the Hangover One. Yeah, it's not like you're like laughing, you're bent over, you can't even, you know, your abs hurt. You
actually,
know, it's
I heard
like
that's
that.
The funny part, and they call it because it's the early 80s, right? And they call it the science or the
science oven. Yeah, she calls, keeps calling it a science
is.
Oven. Yeah. It's like, why'd you bring that stupid science oven in the house anyway? And it's like, it's pretty funny. But, or, you know, there's other little parts. But it's like, do you remember in Pirates of the Caribbean 1? Have you ever seen that?
Not entirety.
Oh, okay. Well,
entirety.
There's a part in Pirates of the Caribbean 1 where, like, at the beginning, where Orlando Bloom's character is in the house and he goes to touch something and he breaks it and then he, like, hides it. Like, and that was funny. You know, like, I laughed at that, but it wasn't like, it's like subtle funny instead of.
Right, not
like,
comedy.
Like they're
yeah.
trying to get you with punchlines.
I mean,
and
even
stuff.
Dramedies or dramas have their lighthearted moments.
Yes, exactly.
But it's like, I don't know. I mean, everything's kind of, I feel like, skewed. Nowadays, anyway, like straight comedies don't even do, you know, like Steve, what's the magician movie we saw? Like that did horrible.
Yeah.
And I like most people didn't like it. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Because,
too.
You know, it's like, I feel like now it's because you shoot for a comedy and, you know, comedy is hard. You know that. We know
yes.
that comedy is
oh,
hard.
Gosh.
So it's like when you don't achieve a great amount of, I don't know, it seems like you get an over amount of criticism for trying to be funny, even when
yes.
it's okay. But it doesn't hit like a high mark.
Yeah, it's not
so
great.
Now it's a lot easier. Or like the Golden Playbook, Golden Rules. What is it? With
Silver Linings Playbook?
Silver Lining.
Amazing.
The sequel's gold. I was thinking ahead.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
But I mean, it's super, but it's very funny. But I mean, it's, you know what I mean? It's like there's drama in there, but it's like there's a lot of funny lines where it would almost be a straight comedy. And the same thing with the movie I saw.
Oh, let's Wolf do it. Good segue.
Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah, say what you want about my interviewing. Segways dead on. No.
Hashtag Segway champion.
Yes, I will Twitter that. I Twittered something hilarious. If you saw Wolf of Wall Street, you'll like that tweet. I don't care what anybody says. You'll have to. I retweeted. I acted like Movie Madness is not me, and I retweeted my own tweet.
Yes, I did that. I do that sometimes, too.
Actually, I did me.
I always mess
Twitter
it up.
Off. Yeah. But.
Yeah.
So at least I got one retweet, even if it's me. Well, no, because this movie is very funny, except for like the end and where he smacks his wife. That's not a spoiler. No. I mean, there's like one serious part, but it's
yeah.
like there it's, you know, I guess I don't know if they're trying to label it as a comedy because, you know, there's some serious things. But it, basically it is. I mean, Leonardo, it's like a lighthearted Goodfellas. Is basically what it is. Like, he even sounds like he does the voiceover, you know, DiCaprio does the voiceover, and he even sounds like Ray Liotta from Goodfellas at times.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It seems like, to me, in my head. But it's, like, so similar. Not that they're super, but, you know, Jonah Hill, he's killing it, too. He's on the hot list.
Yeah.
And you can see, like, there's certain scenes that are improv, probably between, because, you know, he, like, Jonah Hill's probably such a great guy. I feel like, you know, when he makes a movie, which I'm super jealous of because I feel like if I made a movie, even if people saw my great talent that they don't quite recognize, people would still hate me. But, you know, like he makes a movie with Brad Pitt, they're best of friends.
Yeah.
They're probably like still good friends. He makes a movie. Now he's probably like best friends with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
You know, and they like.
Yeah, you're right. He's in a lot of really, with really, you know, serious movie stars.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, their friend in those movies.
Well,
it's gotta be awesome.
Probably hilarious on the set.
Oh, you,
could
know
see,
he
like,
is.
Like he brought out the improvise, like they probably improvise a couple of scenes where Leonardo DiCaprio and, you know, and just anything, basically everything that Jonah did. He has like fake teeth. So he. Looks funny. I don't know if he got fat on if that's all him being fat again, but you know, he had to kind of be fat for the role.
I'm okay with him plumping up a little bit more. When he was like crazy skinny, it was like kind of uncomfortable to see him.
Well, he looked weird. He was
because he went from, you know, being a heavier guy to super skinny when he was like doing that action movie.
Yeah.
Not 21 Jump Street, the other one. Wasn't he like a Green Hornet or something?
No, that was Seth.
He was
Seth
something weird.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
you're right. Yeah. But I thought that Jonah Hill, when he was like super skinny.
He was super skinny in Neighborhood Watch. Like he went from super fat, not super fat, but he was in The Babysitter, I think got released, and he was probably at his biggest.
Yeah.
And then he just, then you saw him skinny as, it was just like his head. Like, it, you know, it just, it didn't look right.
Mm-mm.
Basically. It.
No.
But yeah, and you know who's actually Matthew McConaughey, who was in Dallas Buyers Club, which is supposed to be a really good movie as well, which I didn't see.
Yeah,
but
it's
supposed
to be amazing.
He still looks a little AIDS-y because he like he's very skinny, like he hasn't gained the weight back.
Really?
He has a good role in the beginning as the mentor before DiCaprio's character Jordan Belfort, who's you know it's that movie's based on his you know an actual guy
mm-hmm.
his actual memoirs, who's the guy who he first meets when he's actually a normal person. But you know these are all good themes that are you know here's my little notes. Oh, this the Quaalude scene. I can't believe that would be real. But that like the lady, there's basically a scene where they take too many Quaaludes and like Leonardo has to crawl to his car, and I mean it goes on for like a good 5 minutes, and the lady behind me was like stomping her feet, dying. Like she was the only one like laughing out loud. I mean it was funny, but it kind of went on. I feel like a little too long.
Just a little bit much.
But yeah, and then. And then there's, I don't know, it's kind of mixed in with, well, what happens is they both take too many Quaaludes, and then Jonah starts choking on a piece of ham that he starts eating even though he's on Quaaludes. And in the background is where there's Popeye the Sailor Man who's eating spinach at that moment to get, you know, to beat up Brutus. And, you know, and his wife, like, DiCaprio's wife is like, oh, he's choking, do something. But, you know, DiCaprio's on Quaaludes too, so he's having motor skill issues, so he actually has a vial of cocaine that he takes at that moment, which gives him. And I don't think cocaine has an instantaneous effect, so that one scene was a little outlandish. I feel like because he took cocaine to help him stand up to go over and give him a resuscitatum. So that one, like, I'm sure that was not. Well, you know, I know it's embellished and stuff, and you know, I've seen the criticism. I think on this is like how it glorifies. You know, because basically this guy is a very bad, this Jordan, like a bad person
mm-hmm.
because he ripped off a lot of people. He did do illegal stuff, which is kind of irrelevant now, like with Wall Street and all the things that are going on. But I don't feel like it glorifies it. Like just like Goodfellas didn't really glorify gangster. I mean, it's the lifestyle. Like people like that's, they're just laying it out. You know what I mean? Like if you
that's
root for them,
was, yeah.
that's on you. I don't think the movie's like, oh, you should because I don't know. Like that's up to you. But yeah, he's a pretty bad guy who doesn't really, I feel like he doesn't redeem himself. I mean, going on my no research policy for interviews and movie reviews, I didn't look up the real memoir or I really have
what actually happens to him
to read it. But DiCaprio does give a, like when he's in front of the mic, like they do that in Wall Street, you know, like the Gordon Gekko when he gives his little speeches, like there's a couple mm-hmm. moments where Leonardo's like, you make that call. Like, I almost wanted to get up and start dialing cold calls because that's like he was giving the speech to his guys to, like, make the calls to sell the penny stocks. And it was pretty intense. And, you know, as a comedian, you need to be charismatic in front of the mic. And he had it. He was there.
It's awesome.
He inhibited the role. So, I mean.
I really want to see it.
You should. Just for that scene. Just for him hitting the mic and naked ladies.
I'm into it.
And for, I don't know. That's about it. And Rob Reiner's in there as his dad, because as his dad is a good-natured guy, and that feels kind of weird to me for some reason. I don't know. But, I mean, most of it is comedy because it is like what... But I feel like it's almost, you know, satire in itself because that's probably like these Wall Street people who make so much money, you know, they don't want to play by anybody's rule. And it can go to... like, there's good themes in there, you know what I mean? Like, power. Like, was this guy bad to begin with? Because he started out as a nice guy who didn't want to do drugs, and then he went to this, turned into a guy who does drugs all the time and prostitutes. But it's like, does that, like, that's what money does to you. Like, I think that would happen, the same thing would happen to me. I mean, I probably wouldn't feel good about ripping, I wouldn't rip people off, but if I had all that amount of money.
I would definitely choke on ham while high. No questions asked.
Well, that's funny, because, you know, like, Jonah, like, there's just this ham, like, layout of ham, like, he's walking around and he can barely walk, and then he just sees ham and you see him like, oh, ham. And then he starts eating ham.
It's unbelievable.
So there you go. I would recommend seeing Wolf of Wall Street. 3 hours though, pretty
that's
almost,
intense.
I didn't get out of there until like 3 o'clock, so
that's in, that's 12. Very, very intense.
Yeah, well, they let a couple scenes breathe. Actually, I think Spike Jones plays a character in this too. He plays Dwayne, so he's actually in there. And from his movie She.
Her.
Oh, sorry. Couldn't read my own notes. Her, she, it's a pronoun. It's a noun. Yeah, which one would you recommend you go see first, even though you didn't see my movie?
I mean, I would definitely recommend American Hustle.
You know, Abscam has actually had a crossover. Abscam was in Donnie Brasco, too.
Really?
A little scene. Yeah, when they were taken, like, that was part of Abscam. Did they, you know, I think Abscam took down my boy, John DeLorean. Did they have that in there?
I don't know. John DeLorean.
Yeah, because, you know, they were trying to bribe people. Like, John DeLorean's car, I'm a big John DeLorean guy. Not even before Back to the Future, because I really like the car. I just like the doors that go up.
Yeah.
But no, his company was failing that he started himself. Actually, that's an interesting
story.
He
might be in there.
They should.
Because at the beginning, they do a whole bunch of...
That's the movie I'm going to write, the John DeLorean story.
You should. And you can play John DeLorean.
He's an interesting guy. He's another guy that went partying and went nuts when he... Because he was a hotshot engineer. Well, no, when he started his own... His car company was failing, basically, because he wasn't part of the big three. So he needed to raise money, so his bright idea was to sell cocaine. And somehow, I don't know how it intersects, I forget, but he got wrapped up in that, you know, those guys, the FBI sting, and he met with them, and they got it on tape, like him trying to sell. He thought they were, like, the Arab guy was investors, so he was trying to sell them the cocaine.
Oh, yeah, no, he's not
money,
in, he's but, not in that.
Oh, okay. But he actually got acquitted. He was found not guilty.
Oh, beautiful.
Because I think he ruled it was entrapment or something, because they were actually trying to set him up, like, when he found out that it was...
Mm-hmm.
But there, you can actually find the real footage. I think it's on the internet. Like, him telling them, the FBI guys that, like, this cocaine's great and all this stuff about... like, basically saying cocaine a lot in this undercover tape.
That's very funny.
Yeah, all right. So, I don't know. There you go. Two movies. Two great movies. Go see... You know what? Go see Wolf of Wall Street first, because I feel there's probably more actual nudity in there.
Oh, yeah. Nudity-wise, yes.
Yeah,
I don't think there was any nudity in...
Yeah. Well, although Jennifer Lawrence, it's pretty tough.
It's just so great.
With a come hither stare that's tough to walk away from. Oh, and, you know, Inside Llewyn Davis, very... and I like a movie that already has their porn name mapped out for them. So, like, the porn satire writes itself. Inside Llewyn Davis. It's supposed to be Coen Brothers' best work.
Really?
Yeah, and that says a lot.
That is a lot.
So I want to go see that.
There's a lot of movies out.
Yeah,
I'm behind. I got to get on it.
Soul Survivor, but I feel like you should really read the book there. And the title kind of gives it away, because only one guy survives, and it's Marky Mark, and I didn't even see it. I know.
You just know.
Well, because he's the one guy. No, it's a great story,
yeah.
Because I read the back jacket of the book. No, it's...
So you know for sure.
I think it's really hard to portray in a movie, though, because it's about brotherhood and, you know, obviously it's four SEALs that have to take on, like, a village of Taliban, and only one guy survives because the other guy, like, one of the villagers who's not a Taliban, actually hit him out, you know, hit him from the Taliban. I just call him Taliban. That's all right. And then they're actually friends now, and he's trying to get him to come to the United States.
Oh, wow.
So it's like Bond, brotherhood, all that stuff, but I can tell the movie's... probably going to be, as I mentioned, you know, I do have that underdeveloped nervous system from being 5 minutes premature. Probably too intense, because the firefight scenes are...
Oh, yeah,
intense.
I bet that movie's going to be wild.
Yeah. Any other parting shots before we go? You have a big benefit to go to?
Yeah. I have to...
You have to go salsa dancing? A little merengue.
Oh, goodness.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know.
I think
you
do. I think you know.
I think
you
were pretty close. Merengue, I think it is. Oh!
I was rolling his tongue. Well, you dance
I can't
salsa.
Roll my tongue.
Do you know how to dance salsa?
Yeah.
It comes
I'm very
natural.
Good at it.
Yeah.
I'm just a very good dancer. I'm just a very good dancer in general.
That's
no
true.
One can stop me on the dance floor.
You're unstoppable. Yes, you've won many dance-offs.
I have.
I know. I didn't mean that sarcastically.
All right.
Well, there you go.
Have a
There's
great week,
everyone.
Reviews.
Yeah, and I'll be back tomorrow, all by myself. We'll see how this interview goes. If you're interested, tune in.
What time?
4:30. I'll be talking to Joey
Perfect.
Coco
yeah.
Diaz. Why? Oh, will you be on your ride home? You can tune in.
Yeah, I might be able to get it on the thing. Perfect.
All right. Well, until then, wait. Let's see if we can get back to American royalty. Let's shut off the mics. Don't say anything crazy.
Mm-hmm.